Welcome to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga from Cleveland.com, and we've got plenty to get to this week as the Indians pitchers and catchers have reported in Goodyear, Arizona. Paul Hoynes from Cleveland.com, the Indians beat writer, is with me here, and he will be in Arizona at the end of this week. Paul, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Joe.
It's here. It's go time. The break is over, and the guys are out there throwing and catching. Latest news that we heard today, a couple of things. Let's start with Trevor Bauer. He wins his arbitration case against the Indians. The Indians don't have a really great record track record recently in winning arbitration cases, huh?
Well, they don't usually go to arbitration cases. I mean, you know, I think in 2014 they beat Tomlin and Vinny Pastano, who both those guys should have never gone. I don't know why. I'm still confused why they went. And then you got to go all the way back to, 1991, the last time they went to arbitration, and Greg Swindell beat them, and Jerry Brown had a decision go against them. And, you know, that was the kind of the turning point when Danny O'Dowd and John Hart decided there's got to be a better way than going to arbitration and ripping our own players. And that's when they started offering players, you know, that didn't have enough time for arbitration, multi-year deals.
It just seemed to me, and just in talking to Trevor Bauer before the TriFest last month, you know, Trevor's sort of the kind of guy who wanted to go to arbitration. It was almost like he was going to go to arbitration, you know, regardless of what the offer was going to be, just to have somebody say, yes, you're worth this, or yes, you're worth what they said. It almost feels like just a personality thing for Trevor. Maybe he sort of wanted to go and sit down. And he's also appears to me to be the kind of guy who wouldn't let a decision, if it went against him, affect him.
Yeah, you know, I think so. You never know how what happens in those hearings and who says what and who takes things the wrong way. I mean, Swindell beat the Indians in arbitration and was so mad at him. I don't think he re-signed with them. You know, so it can leave some scars. And I'm sure the process has kind of evolved since then. And I think you're pretty careful if you go in there. You're not going to rip a guy like Bauer who you've got under control for 3 years. You know, you're going to point out his shortcomings statistically, and I think you'd want to do it just from a statistical point of view, and I think Bauer could understand that because, you know, that's what he's about. He's about statistics and analytics, and I think he had a strong case. I'm not surprised he won. I thought the Indians may have lowballed, came in with a lower offer. Don't not lowball them, you know, but maybe could have come in a little higher.
Yeah, I think this one might be a case where the Indians maybe don't mind losing as much just because, you know, Bauer's a guy who the switch might not have been thrown completely on at some point last year, but it was definitely trending in the right direction towards the end and in September when the Indians made their historic win streak run. Yeah, so the other big news for the day, you just posted a story on Cleveland.com about Danny Salazar being behind the pack already. We've got, six, seven arms in the mix for a starting spot in the rotation, and now Salazar appeared to have suffered a setback in January.
Yeah, I guess he's, you know, maybe strained his rotator cuff, his right rotator cuff, in his off-season throwing program. Now, I don't know, this is the first I've heard of it. So I don't know if, you know, I would imagine the Indians knew about this coming into camp, but if they found out, I think it would be, I don't think they'd be very happy if Salazar just sprung this on him, you know, the day he walked into the clubhouse. I'm not sure when he reported, but on, you know, pitchers and catchers came to camp, were scheduled to report on Wednesday. So I don't think the Indians would be too pleased if that was the first time they've heard about this. So I think, you know, Joe, when they say a guy is 2 weeks behind spring in camp at the first, you know, the first couple of days of camp, to me that screams DL. He's not going to be on, you know, he's not going to be on the opening day roster. To me, I mean, I've seen it too many times. There's just, you can't play catch up in spring training. It's very difficult to do. Now, maybe if they're not looking at Salazar as a starter, he might have a chance to, you know, he won't have to build up that much arm strength if they put him in a bullpen. But I think this is kind of serious, definitely. I don't think this is, you know, this is just one of those things. Well, yeah, he'll be back in mid-March. I don't see that happening.
Is a change in roles maybe something that might help Danny Salazar? Could you, you know, if you were Carl Willis and Tito Francona, you know, maybe sit him down and just say, hey, your future is as a lights out setup man, and look at what those guys are doing and how valuable they are to the postseason teams. If he could, you know, with the stuff that he has, the strikeout stuff that he has, could he be valuable in that kind of a role for the Indians if he could be back to being healthy?
Yeah, I think he could, Joe. I really do. I just wonder if he could. Is he the type of guy that's going to make 70 appearances a year? Is his elbow and his shoulder going to allow him to do that? You know, I can't see that. Is he going to pitch 3 or 4 times a week? Is he going to be able to, you know, get up and warm up and sit down and get up and warm up again? I don't know. You know, I have my doubts. And he, you know, and he, they put him in the bullpen last year and he didn't like it. So you know, I don't think he's, you know, I think, you know, they, you know, in a perfect world, he's a starter. But is his body going to allow him to start? I don't know.
Speaking of bodies allowing guys to start, Cody Anderson, a name we haven't heard for a while now, 10.5 months out from reconstructive elbow surgery. What's the latest on Cody, and when can we expect to see him in spring training?
I guess he's, you know, just from the report we received today, he's playing catch, doing long toss. He could start throwing off the mound on Saturday, but you know, unless this guy is you know, Mr. Machine or something, I mean, it takes a year, almost it always takes a full year to recover from Tommy John. So he's 10.5 months post-op. So I still think this is a guy that, okay, you know, he goes through spring training, he stays in extended spring. And maybe, you know, by the All-Star break, he's ready to pitch for the big league club. But he's got to go on a rehab assignment with somebody. You know, he's got to pitch either at Columbus or Akron. You know, so I still think he's a ways away, and unless, you know, he's a miracle man.
Well, and the luxury that the Indians have is that they've got depth in the rotation, and they can allow him that time to recover and sort of progress through his, you know, recovery program that way.
Yeah, and he's another guy that could help in the bullpen as well, and that might not take as long, you know, as if he's targeted to start, you know. So maybe that's a quicker road for him, but I still think it's going to be a while here.
Okay, and now we get to Adam Plutko, who they told us during the playoffs last year that Plutko was going to have hip surgery. And apparently he had that. What's the update there? Is it Isaiah Thomas situation? Has he lost all of his explosiveness to the hoop?
Yeah, I hope not. No, I think, you know, I guess he's going to start. They think he'll be ready to play in games by early March. He's been throwing bullpen sessions. So that's a good thing. You know, that's a good sign. When you get off the mound and you're throwing bullpen sessions and they kind of forecast that you should be able to play some exhibition games in March, you know, that's a good sign. But, you know, where is he going to pitch? You know, I think he's probably headed back to AAA. This is a guy that I think, I don't know how much big league time he got last year, but he never pitched in a game. He was just up here. I mean, he got some big league time last year, but we never saw him in a game. So, you know, that's the perfect way to do it, I guess. But,
right. It was the Sean Morimondo rule. He was with the club for a while. It just never managed to get in the game.
Exactly.
Michael Brantley looks like he's coming back off of his ankle surgery pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I think he is. You know, it says he's running in a straight line. You know, he can. You know, I guess he can. He's been hitting in the cage. In the next couple of weeks, I think they'll build up his workout routine, increase the intensity, and we'll go from there. You know, we won't really know, I don't think, if he's going to be ready for opening day until, you know, mid-March, and we get to see him in games, how he's progressing in games. But they still said, you know, the thing that sticks in my mind is when Chris Antonetti said, you know, we expect to have him for the bulk of the season. So that is still, you know, puts opening day in doubt for me.
As far as Yandy Diaz goes, he had a groin injury, a groin strain, but there was no surgery involved with that, correct?
No, it was a winter ball injury, and he went to Goodyear early, and they say he has no restrictions now, so he should be full go. And him and Zimmer the same way, I guess. You know, Zimmer had the broken hand, and he's full go as well.
Well, you jumped me because Zimmer was going to be my cherry on top at the end. The good news was going to be that Zimmer was without restriction, but we pass over Brandon Guyer, who's still struggling with that wrist, I guess, right?
Yeah, he had the wrist surgery during the postseason last year, the left wrist. You know, he's I guess, going through all the outfield drills, throwing, but, you know, he still can't hit. So he's going to get reexamined next week. And I guess they'll probably set up a hitting program or determine when he'll be able to swing the bat again. But, you know, that's another guy that, you know, is iffy for opening day.
Yeah, if Brandon Guyer comes back and can provide anything from the right side of the plate, that certainly helps things, you know, lineup-wise at some point in the season, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He can, you know, he can platoon in left field. He can platoon in right field. He showed 2 years ago that he's very, very good hitter against lefties, you know, a clutch hitter. I think if he's healthy, he's going to help the team. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. So that's the latest from Paul Hoynes, MD. Dr. Paul will be joining us with regular updates on the Indians' health throughout spring training when he gets down to Goodyear and back out there at the end of spring. But, you know, let's jump to the big news from yesterday. Obviously, was pitchers and catchers reporting, but also the passing, sadly, of Tito Francona. And Terry's going to wind up having to go back, and deal with funeral arrangements and whatnot the end of this week. But he should be back out there in Goodyear by Sunday. Just – when you heard the news, what was your initial reaction to hearing about the loss of Tito?
Yeah, I just felt bad. You know, I didn't know if it was, you know, sudden or unexpected. I think it was I think it was a little bit unexpected. They may have been caught by surprise by this. But he was such a nice man. You know, I've heard so many good things about him from fans. You know, that have the comments on the bottom of the stories we've written. Just a good guy. I talked to him a lot when Terry first got the job in 2012. And, you know, he was just a cool guy. And he was one of my favorite players growing up, you know. I used to go down to the old stadium with my mom and dad to watch him play. And, that, you know, he was one of my favorite players. So there was this guy wrote me this email today. That when Tito was playing in Parma, you know, I'm playing for the Indians. He lived in Parma for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids grew up. These kids, were big fans. They were about 10, 11 years old. And they found out Tito lived like three streets down from him. So they got their gloves early one morning and went up to his house. I don't know how they knew it, but they knocked on the side door. Like, I guess it sounded like it was about 8 in the morning. I don't know if it was after a night game or something.
They said,
Tito staggered to the door. And they go, Tito, can you sign our gloves? And he said, sure, kids. And he goes, you got a pen? And, of course, they didn't have a pen. So he's got to go in the house and look for a pen. Then he came out, signed for him, but they said, this guy said, you know, that's one of the best memories of my boyhood, going up and talking to Tito and getting his autograph. And that's what kind of guy he was. So that was really cool. I thought that was cool.
Well, and for Terry Francona, you knew it was special whenever he would talk of his father and being in the park, and occasionally he'd make trips up from Pennsylvania to watch games, but not too often. I mean, he let Terry do his own thing, but you could just tell, like, the pride. Like, Terry just beams when he talks about his old man. So, I mean, that's really – how do you think it's going to affect Terry moving forward?
Well, I think it affects you. I think, I'm sure it will, I can just relate it to when my dad died, and my dad died in like the end of the, like 1998 or 1999. And, you know, I still to this day find myself picking up the phone to call him to talk about something with the Indians. So, you know, that kind of stuff really never leaves you, you know, I think. But, and I think, they were so close that I still think that closeness stays with you, you know, even though, you've lost someone really that you loved, you don't really lose them, I don't think, because you have those memories and you just stay close to them, I think, like that way. But I think it definitely would affect you, you know. It's good, I think, that it probably happened, you know, just before the start of the baseball season. So, you know, once Tito gets back to the Indians, you know, you don't have too much time to dwell on the past. I mean, the job is all consuming, and that's probably what he needs now.
Mm-hmm. And last year, you know, there were we had the issues with Terry's health, and you know, that was something he was asked about throughout the season. And you know, at the end of the season, when he came back and sort of recharged, and he said he was ready to go. You know, this season, I just see it as being maybe a recurring theme throughout the season that a lot of people are going to go back and ask questions. You know, at every city he stops at for the first time, or you know, whatever, it's bringing up his dad. You know, this could be a thing that probably won't go away until the season is over for sure.
Yeah, I would think, you know, maybe the first time around the league, people will ask, or, you know, some of his, you know, he's been in the league a long time, he's been in baseball a long time, you know, he knows a lot of writers, a lot of reporters, so, you know, I would think, he talks about this early in the year, and then kind of, you know, maybe shuts down shop on it and just moves on. But I think it is going to be something that lingers and is going to be, you know, a storyline to the season.
Do you think the Indians have any plans or anything in the works to, you know, certainly a video tribute on opening day would be appropriate, but do you think there'll be anything like a patch on the uniform or anything like that?
You know, I didn't even think about that, Joe. That's interesting. You know, I'm sure, you know, they'll have, you know, some kind of a video presentation when they come back to open the home season. But I don't know about a patch. I didn't ask about anybody about that. I know who's the last guy. The third baseman for the 1954 team that died. I know they wore his number 5 on their sleeve. I'm pretty sure. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name though. But yeah, but you know, that's possible. You know, that is possible. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to, you know, follow up and make sure we get a definite on that. But so anything else going on, you know, league-wise? Any ideas if the Indians are going to be stopping out? The big thing was the Tim Lincecum workout. Was that something that the Indians probably had any interest in? I don't think there'd be a spot for him in a rotation.
I'm sure they were out there. I didn't ask anybody about it. But I'm sure they usually it was in Arizona, right? I think
correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, there's scouts. They had scouts there, and I think those scouts they're looking for stuff like that. And you always need you got to have a short list of guys in your back pocket. And, mm-hmm. I'm sure they looked at, the freak, you know, see what he can do. I mean, Bauer kind of emulated him, so maybe they could have two of those guys in the lineup,
well,
in the rotation. I don't know if Cleveland could stand it though.
Oh man, the post game interviews. I'm just imagining them. No, two Cy Youngs in your back pocket. You know, everybody's got to be interested if you're trying to do something like that. But you know, speaking of tryouts and camps, what's your opinion on the free agent camp that's going on in Florida? where all the unsigned guys are sort of working out. And apparently they're turning away scouts at this thing.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has any idea what's going on there. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like it's the CIA or something. You know, they've got armed guards patrolling the towers, not letting the reporters or anybody in there. I'm surprised they let the players in there to work out. I'm not sure what the point is on that. If you're not going to let scouts in so they can watch these guys, so they might offer somebody a job?
That makes absolutely no sense. Why wouldn't you want to showcase the talent that you have there in order to get somebody signed? Or is it just thumbing the nose at the owners saying, look, you know what we have here, you know, make us an offer. you don't make an offer on something you can't without kicking the tires.
Right, and you know, so who knows? I mean, it sounds like some of Scott Boras' guys aren't going there, you know. So, you know, Hosmer and Arrieta and Moustakas aren't going, I guess. And so, you know, who knows? But, you know, you would think an open-door policy would be the best policy. You know, the last time they did this, I think, was, you know, 1995 in spring training during the strike, the replacement players. And I kind of remember that it was kind of wide open, you know, there was pictures, there was, you know, camera guys there. So who knows? I would imagine if it goes on that the restrictions would get kind of loosened up and, you know, I mean, you've got to let people in there to watch, you know, but who knows? I don't know.
Right. Just today on Cleveland.com, we put up a list of 20 young prospects that are going to be in Indians camp this year, trying to make an impression, maybe trying to get some looks to be on the Major League roster at some point soon. Anybody from that list besides the obvious guys like Mejia and Bobby Bradley and Tristan McKenzie that stand out as guys who, you know, we could see in a few years? Obviously, the lower half of the list is guys who are 18, 19 years old and are, you know, 3 to 4 years away. But the top half of that list are guys that really could contribute.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I heard, you know, from a couple guys, Sean Beaver, you've got him, and I think number 8, mm-hmm. that he, mm-hmm. you know, he might be, he's close to being Major League ready. He could be, you know, if they have an injury, if they need a guy, you know, to come up from Double A or Triple A, wherever he'll be. I think he's a guy that could help them. Willie Castro, I know he had a knee injury in winter ball. So I don't know how, you know, how far advanced he is, if he's healthy, but you know, I remember him in spring training the last couple of years. He really played a good shortstop. He was a good defender. You know, I think, you know, he could probably help if they needed just somebody for defense. But, you know, it's a good list. You know, but like you said, you know, Mejia, you know, I would think he's the closest, maybe Bradley. You know, I haven't seen Nolan Jones, but, you know, he put up good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a third baseman, a big kid, former hockey player, I think. So, I'm anxious to see all those guys, but the shortstop Chang, you know, he had a lot of power last year, so you know that, you know, I don't know maybe the Indians farm system has taken maybe a step back just because you know, guys like Lindor and Ramirez are Bradley,
yeah.
Zimmer are up there already, but this is still a pretty good list. It's still a pretty deep system. You know, I wonder, you know, when you look, you know, I don't see a closer, you know, and I know they really don't, you know, the at least the Indians don't really try to develop closers, you know, per se at the minor league system. They like to have their pitching prospects either start or, you know, pitch 2 innings in relief stints just so they can develop all their pitchers. So I wonder if there's a you know, a closer candidate out in the minors somewhere.
Well, and the other thing that they don't do for closers and back end bullpen guys is offer them big contracts. So you know, that's you've got Cody Allen and Andrew Miller at the end of this year eligible for free agency, and The Indians don't have a really long and glorious history of bringing guys like that back on big contracts. It's funny that you mentioned closer not showing up on the list, because closer doesn't seem to be anywhere in the Indians' priority system right now.
Yeah, I think, they might take, they might follow the John Hart, the John Hart belief is that closers fall out of trees. You can find a closer anywhere. You can change a starter into a closer, like they did with Jose Mesa. You can interchange closers, but I think you've got to, I think it takes a special guy to pitch in the ninth inning, they might have to go out and get that guy after the 2018 season,
Well, maybe he's available at a trade deadline deal that would offer, a couple of years of controllability on the other side of that, too. So, who knows? All right, Paul. Well, you should start packing now. And,
okay.
Make sure you hit your flight and everything goes good to get out there, because the guys are out there waiting for you. So,
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Jason Kipnis will be waiting for you to walk in, right?
Yeah, right.
Have fun on your trip out there. We look forward to the content and the conversations that we'll have with you as your time out there goes on, and we get ever closer to the best day of the year, home opener, opening day here in Cleveland.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.